Yeah, y'all can be seated. So today is the 8th December 2016. So get ready for puja. Develop the faith, sada, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We shall commence the official puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, paratipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, sura meraya maja pama datana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena ditena tamadang sina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Vujayami tamonudang Kanda sambarayutena Dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajanam uttamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena mattena cha ho tu mokang 不盼未来亚地亚达以当美该有达达亚地维那萨巴王阿地瓦塞图诺班德巴尼扬巴里卡提坦阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴提干哈图穆特曼Adivase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parika pitangAnu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Let us now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind.And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of pure clear water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense.May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma.So that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivateSila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers.Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Japa.Bedang pujami Dhammang pujami Sanghang pujami Okay, you can be seated and you can off the light and you can start your meditationI think tonight, everybody here before, so it should be easy. So I will give you more time to meditate. Yeah, you can have half an hour. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you proceed. For those who still need to train, you go ahead. Then for those who are still new, you listen to lastThursday class sharing to develop more understanding. The key thing to meditation is to understand clearly then you meditate with understanding and you will progress very fast. So take your time to understand it. The Buddha's teaching is very simple when you understand. So the two pair of mind states, always remember, spiritual faculty and mental hindrance. If your spiritual faculty are not there, mental hindrance will set in. They will actually make you heedless. They hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why you are not able to meditate. You cannot develop the meditative mind. So, if that is your situation, then you should spend more time training your mind to decondition this heedless thinking so that the five mental hindrance can be kept at bay. Means temporarily it will not arise. Then after that, when you become more skillful, you can develop this meditative mind through the mind sweeping method, combining with metta. This will make your mind calm, peaceful, and just silent, aware. Then the inner peace that arises together with loving kindness will develop inner well-being. When you have this mind state of inner peace and inner well-being, you are actually quite peaceful, quite calm, and that is very near the meditative state. That's how you can start to train your mind from there. Then the object of meditation, or the method and the technique, is just a skillful means to train this mind, because you still don't have the spiritual faculty stably developed. Without a stable spiritual faculty, you cannot actually develop the ability to be peaceful within the moment to meditate. So you use any of the skillful means, method or technique that you are familiar with, or object of meditation, to anchor your mind so that it does not wander, does not become heedless, it does not think a lot. So after your mind sweeping method combined with metta, when you are more stable, then you train your mind to develop mindfulness of the object of meditation. The easiest is anapanasati, which the Buddha recommended. Just focus on the mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you start off by relaxing body and mind, make sure backbone is straight, then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Then like you do your mind sweeping method, you maintain your attention. Instead of at the forehead, you move it to your nostril, in front of your nostril, where your breathing moves in and moves out normally, naturally. So just breathe in, breathe out naturally. Do not have to, you don't have to force your breathing or control your breathing on it. Just relax and breathe in normally. Breathe in, breathe out normally. Then, because you are attentive, then you can detect the breathing. The moment the mind detects the breathing, then just allow the mind to follow in perfect harmony and synchrony. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware, fully aware of the in-breath, no more thinking. And breathing out, the mind and the breath move as one. Every time this mind wanders off, because you are not trained, just let it be. Then bring your attention back. The very moment that you are aware that the mind is not with the breathing means it has wandered off, it has become heedless. So the awareness of that is actually attention, which is a type of mindfulness. So the moment you are aware that you are no longer mindful or no longer attentive to the breath, that itself is sati or mindfulness. So just bring it back and start all again. If you are patient, not long, this mindfulness will stabilize. Your ability to follow the breathing, the in and out without thought, will arise. Then when it arrives, you will feel very good, especially if it's the first time you are doing it. The breathing becomes like very stable, very calm, very normal. Then because you don't think, you are just aware of the in and out breath, following it very naturally without forcing it, without concentrating or focusing on it, you're just mindful of it. Then it will arise what they call piti. Piti is a very special mind state where you will experience this spiritual calmness, or sometimes people call it spiritual rupture, like you rupture into joy, because it's so peaceful, so calm. So it will make you feel good, then you like to meditate. Then you continue to relax into it and allow it to be. It will become more and more quiet, more and more refined, until this piti transforms again into a very blissful state, which they call sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss, the state of mind that has been refined until it's so blissful. Initially, the blissfulness can be so intense until you can feel it, like your body sometimes can have goose pimples and all those things because it's so blissful. Then your mind state is so beautiful. Then you continue to relax and silent. It will transform further until it becomes pasati, or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And during that time, there is no movement. Everything has slowed down until it has become so subtle, so still, so quiet, so tranquil. That is the silent mind or the meditative mind that can make you aware, that can meditate and develop the understanding. So the main intent of this form of meditation is actually to train your mind to develop this mind state, then use it to meditate, then silence everything, relax and just aware there. Then later on, the subtle breathing, whatever object of meditation you are holding, will become very refined, very quiet, very still. Then you just silence everything and just stay there. Then the mind will enter sati. You will develop the higher, more refined mindfulness to be aware of all the very fine movement, very subtle movement. Then when your mind can detect all those very fine subtle movement, means your mind is already in sati. So wherever you locate this mind, you can be mindful of it. Then your mind becomes very, very sensitive. You can feel many things. In fact, all the internal vibration, wherever you locate your mind, you will feel it. Then if you were to move it to your chest area or your heart area, you will have the ability to feel your own vibration, your own heartbeat, without having to use stethoscope or whatever skillful means or instrument. Then you realize your mind has transformed. It has this ability to become mindful on its own. That is sensitive. This type of mind can feel many, many things. And you can only have this type of mind when it's quiet, peaceful, and just aware without thought. Little or no movement. So the whole of the meditation cultivation is to initially develop the stability of the silent mind, the mind that is in sati, mindfulness. And when you can have this ability, you stabilize it until every action, every movement, whatever subtle movement, you can detect them. Then later on, they are like magnified. That very little movement is like magnified into very prominent movement. You can feel it. You can detect them. So when you have that ability, it means your mind is ready to understand things, to develop the meditation. Then you go into the meditation, you just silence everything and just allow the silent mind to develop understanding. Then your form, your physical body with the senses together with the mind, it will arise the various types of sense door consciousness. Upon contact, the respective consciousness, they will arise. So when you are in a formal meditation, because you close your eye consciousness is less active, but your hearing consciousness and tactile consciousness will be very clear. Then sometimes your smell also will be very clear. So you just relax, silence your mind. Then when you can be mindful, whatever that arises through your hearing consciousness, your tactile consciousness, or smell consciousness, you should silence everything to develop understanding, to see how your mind responds to them, how the mind is affected. Through wrong view, you react, you stir, and you create your own thinking. Then you get lost in the train of thought. How you become heedless. You will start to see them. Then you start to understand how the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about arises and passes away within your own form and mind. Starting with the five mental hindrances, followed by the five spiritual faculties. Then later on, as you progress, your enlightenment factors, they will arise, the seven factors of enlightenment. Then you will start to see the dependent origination, the dwelling, each and every link within your own form and mind. Then later on, you will also witness the Four Noble Truths. Then as you meditate, you develop more and more clarity and understanding. Then as this clarity and understanding arise, you can later on, after the meditation, reflect and contemplate into the Dhamma deeper. Then you can straighten your view, develop better understanding, so that in future when you confront the same sense experience, because of your straightening of view or your right view, you will not react like before, you will not stir your mind like before, you will not get yourself entangled like before. Then you become more and more clear in your understanding and approach to sense experience. Then in future, you can develop the clear understanding so that you are not deceived by the phenomenal world. Especially when you have the ability to comprehend the three universal characteristics of nature, its impermanent characteristics, leading to the attachment, clinging, grasping, craving, the trigger of suffering or affliction, which is the second universal characteristic. Then because everything is of the nature to arise and pass away, they are impermanent, they are dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity within, which you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So when you develop that type of understanding, your mind will become different. It will straighten its view, then it will not get lost anymore, it will not get itself entangled anymore. Then through that right view, that right understanding, it can see things as they are and let things be. Then you will not arise any negativity of thought. You will not perceive anything with negativity. You will learn to see things as they are, accept them for what they are. And through all this understanding and wisdom, you will come to penetrate the very important universal characteristics of anatta or non-self, empty nature or existence. So this anatta nature is very, very powerful. the moment you realize it or insight into it and develop a clear understanding, then this wisdom will transform you into an enlightened being to liberate your mind so that you are no longer deluded like before. Then you cannot grasp, you cannot cling, you cannot be deceived by all this so-called mundane condition or phenomenal world of consciousness. On this you will develop understanding. Okay, now I will leave it to you to develop the meditation, and I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. conscious is still on the meditate, you can continue. But just enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6, we will continue your invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Acchakkavalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhamma Munirajasa Sunantu Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Bhajan. Buddhang Pujimi. Dhammang Pujimi. Sanghang Pujimi. Okay, you can be seated. Session where you can report your meditation and ask any related question, Q&A session, whatever question you have regarding the teaching, the Dhamma or the meditation, you can ask. Okay, you just have to lift up your hand or show your hand. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any Dhamma question, whatever that you want to understand. Anybody? Nobody? As usual. Pass to Mindy. Luckily you got Mindy. She always asks questions on the Sunday class too. She really good because she is serious. She listen attentively and read my translation, the transcript. Then when she don't understand certain thing, she really asks. And from her question, you know she really serious about the cultivation. That's why I like the way she asks question. Go ahead, Mindy.
Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Okay, it's one of my meditation experience.
Good.
Sometimes when I feel very relaxed, then I will feel the, I don't know, it's energy or vibration. It was started with my toe.
Yes.
It's like shaking a very tiny bit. Then I can feel that the vibration start to go with my muscle.
Yeah.
The left part first, and the right side first, then it's like,
I know.
Yeah, then the left part.
Yeah. Alright. So what is your question?
Should I just...
It's okay, you just speak on it.
Yeah. Should I just leave it,
Okay, good. So, we have to actually develop clearer understanding of the meditation. Then your answer... Sorry, you're off the thing first. Your question will be self-answered when you understand, okay? So, what is more important is you are going through certain phases in meditation. As you train, as you develop this cultivation or practice, your mind state will transform. Then, like you mentioned, you experience after you start to develop the meditation, when you start to develop some form of ability to be mindful, then your mind settle down and become more calm, more peaceful. Then you start to feel this tingling sensation, the movement and all those things. These are very natural movements. Like I mentioned earlier on, when you experience PT, your mind state will be different. There is this spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, spiritual rupture. You feel it at the mind, understand? But as you relax further, as you continue to allow this anapanasati or mindfulness to develop and relax into it, then the mind that is relaxed become more sensitive, then become more refined. That's why it will reach a stage where they call sukha. Sukha or blissfulness of mind. Then when you have this blissfulness of the mind, this tingling sensation, or sometimes like people say goose pimple, it like make you reflex action and that, like the body respond because it's so calm, so blissful. then it will happen. But in your this case, I don't think you reach the sukha level. You just feel the tingling sensation and the movement because you have reached more peaceful state of mind. Then you detect all this because you are more sensitive now. Your mindfulness is more sensitive. So when it comes to your question, what should you do, or should you just allow it, or note it, or aware of it? Actually, you will come to understand later on. You can do any of those things to find out more, to develop understanding. You can just investigate into it and develop the understanding. The more important thing is you have to silence your mind, relax your mind, and develop deeper understanding of the mind state that arises. So go back to the four support for meditation, which I always emphasize. First thing first, the first support to go deep into meditation, to progress into meditation, is the ability to relax your mind into every mind state that arises. Whatever that arises, you just relax. The moment you relax, there is no more craving, no more desire to know anything, no more arising of thought or mind process. So relaxation is a very good way of maintaining a quiet mind. Otherwise, that mind can go into concentration also, go into absorption. Then it can go and think and do a lot of things. Because when meditator, especially if they have not had this type of experience before, for the first time they meditate, they experience, they feel attracted to the peacefulness, the calmness, then especially the piti, you know, then they look forward to get it repeated, thinking that it's meditation. That is not meditation. The purpose of meditation is to develop wisdom, to insight into the characteristics of nature, the universal characteristics of all phenomena, so that you can develop the wisdom, so that your mind can straighten its view and liberate. But as you develop the training of the mind, the byproduct of it is the peacefulness of mind, the calmness of mind, the quietness of mind, the tranquility of mind. So all these mind states will arise, but they can arise in under different circumstances. And most people who don't understand the meditation, they use the object of meditation. They focus, they concentrate, they develop one-pointedness, concentration, leading to jhana, everything. Then sometimes they go into continuous mindfulness, or they focus there and absorb into the object of meditation. That will also make you very quiet, very peaceful, very calm, very still. But that mind state is a conditioned state. Not much use. You will experience a lot of calmness, a lot of peacefulness. Then you can play with it. Then you can see nimitta and go into energy field. So all this has been done by the Hindu of the olden days when India started the popular type of meditation, which they call all the Hindu meditation. So all this Hindu meditation is energy-based, tailored towards the energy field, concentration and all things. Not until when Sakyamuni came, that he reintroduced the actual meditation, which he come to realize is all about mindfulness, awareness. That's why the four foundations of mindfulness is all about mindfulness. No more concentration, no more absorption and all those things. It's through this mindfulness that you develop clarity of mind. You develop the free mind to insight into phenomena, to understand the universal characteristic, and to see your own mind state clearly, to see how the mind gets itself deluded and entangled, leading to all the affliction, suffering and all those things. So all this, you have to be careful. So if you are naturally aware, mindful, then this calmness come, this clarity come, then it's okay. It is a free mind. And this is the mind that can develop the meditation, develop the understanding, and awaken. So as we go through the cultivation, we will experience all this mind state. But all the various mind states that arise, they are all dependent originating, like the Buddha said. When the condition is appropriate, you will experience piti, calmness, leading to sukha. Then finally, you're supposed to train and stabilize it until it becomes pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, like the word tranquil, very quiet, very still. That's like stillness of mind, tranquility of mind. The mind doesn't move at all, very quiet, very tranquil, very still. That is the silent mind. And there is the meditative mind. That is your true mind. So in meditation, you're supposed to see these two minds so that you understand. The other one is the thinking mind, condition arising mind, the chattering mind. So this thinking mind is what we call the mundane mind, where mundane people continuously arise. And the thinking mind has all the mental states. Okay, where are the two shit? The mental states are mainly the hindrance before your spiritual faculties are there. Yeah, just put it here. The other one put there. So this hindrance will be there before the spiritual faculty arise. So when this mind state arise, this mind state was not there before it arise. Then how did it arise? There must be causes and conditions, isn't it? Then when it arise, it will also come to pass. Then another mind state arise. Then as you train your spiritual faculty, when your spiritual faculty is in place, this one ceases. And when this one ceases, you didn't die. Understand? So they are not you. Restlessness of mind is not you. Sensual desire, ill will is not you. Anger is not you. That sleepy mind is also not you. It's a mind state. It's a conditioned state. It's just that mental state that arise due to various conditions. Then doubt also the same. Doubt exists because you got no confidence in yourself. You don't understand. The faith is not there. The Dhamma understanding is not there. So all this, they will arise. So when they arise, it clouds you. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. Then you cannot meditate. So you got two choices. Strengthen your spiritual faculties, stabilize it, then this one will go. That's why the Buddha said, don't fight it, don't suppress it, don't control. Don't try to do anything about the five mental hindrances. Just like in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha said, when you are silent and just aware, then you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Well, initially, when you just relax, silent, and meditate, there was no hindrance. But the moment you start, you become aware that the mind becomes restless. That's why it wanders off. It gets lost in the thinking. Means it is not able to maintain its inner state of mindfulness, peacefulness, calmness. But when your spiritual faculty is there, when there is faith, sadha, confident in the Buddha and his teaching, it makes you very calm because your mind is very composed and very calm because of the faith. You have confidence. It's just like in school, when you have studied and prepared yourself very well, you are very confident. And when you are very confident, you don't have fear. You don't panic. You don't have restlessness of mind. You don't have all this thought telling you, are your exam coming? How are I not prepared? You don't have one. You're very confident. You see your friend, you smile. then the mind is very calm, very composed. Then there is this, what they call, clarity inside that knows you will do well because you are well prepared. So in a similar way, spiritual faculty or sadha is the same. When you understand the Dhamma very clearly, then when you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, this faith will make your mind very calm and very composed. And it will strengthen your mind to receive spiritual teaching. That's why it's called a spiritual faculty. Then you can understand the teaching very well, even through hearing or listening or reading or discussion and other things, it will come. Then when faith is there, where you see the importance of this training, then you know who the Buddha is. He is the wisest and the most virtuous. His teaching can liberate your mind and bring about great transformation to you so that your life can become different. So that virya will follow spiritual zeal. So when you have the spiritual zeal, tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate because you see the importance and you understand it very clearly, then you will go all out to cultivate. That's how the third spiritual faculty of sati, mindfulness, will come in. Through your puja, through your bowing, through your training of the mind, or whatever means of daily mindfulness that you establish, it will bring forth the sati. When you are mindful without thought most of the time, you become peaceful naturally. Because when you don't think, all the five mental hindrances cease to be. And when sati stabilizes, you will develop samadhi. Means that free mind that is just aware will have the stability to be collected and unwavering. Then at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel and think, the mind does not spur or react like before. Because it is very peaceful, very calm, very collected. So the collectedness of the mind is what samadhi is all about. So when you have samadhi, your mind becomes collected. It will not waver. That's why it's unwavering. So this ability to have that mind that is so stable will help you to allow you to see things as they are. But the moment it stirs, it's no longer seeing things as they are. It means you are reacting to what you see or what you hear through your views and opinion and your conditioning. Otherwise, the mind won't stir. Even there is fear. Fear means what? Delusion. Lack of understanding. That's why fear or worry, anxiety, restless, all this will come when the mind is not steady, when it's not able to stay collected and unwavering. Then it cannot see things as they are. Then it sees things according to your views and opinion and conditioning. That's why you got fear, you got worry, you got anxiety, you got doubt and all those things. All come about because of your lack of spiritual faculty and understanding. Then when you cannot see things as they are, you cannot develop wisdom. That's why without the spiritual faculty, the last spiritual faculty of panya cannot arise. But when you can see things as they are without the conditioning from the brain or your views and your opinion and your memory to interfere, then that mind that is collected and unwavering will just be aware. Then the moment the mind starts to perceive, then through the views and opinions start to react, this sati panya or sati samadhi will see. And you will understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Because the stirring that bring about sensual desire and ill will is from your views and opinion. You can see now. Can you follow? Without this wrong view or wrong thought, the mind does not stir, understand? You are sitting as they are. That's why meditation is about silencing the mind to understand all this. Then when you understand how your mind stirs due to this wrong view, you have to reflect and contemplate. and develop the strengthening of the view so that in future when you perceive the same thing, it will not do that same heedless thing or foolish thing. It will not have that wrong view again. That's why the Buddha said, when you understand how the unarisen hindrance come to be, this is a wrong thought, unwholesome thought, mental hindrance. So what happened? You have to abandon it, understand not? The right effort to abandon the wrong thought or wrong mental intention behind your action, speech, and thought process. So the abandoning got five ways. The first two ways is thought-based, like I said. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Then think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought or mental hindrance. But the third way is meditation. What is the third way? Just be? What is the third way? Just silence your mind and aware, understand? Don't do anything. Because the original state of mind is already peaceful, tranquil, still, silent. Without thought, you already aware. The spiritual faculty is already there. So you must give it a try. When all this mind state arise and stir and cause your reaction, you just stay with it. Take for example anger, hatred, envy, jealousy or fear. You just silence your mind and stay with it. Then you see what happened. Because of that awareness, you don't think anymore. When you don't think anymore, there is no more mental energy for that defilement to continue to manifest. So like Krishnamurti say, just like the flower, the very flowering of that emotion or that thought, the wrong thought, is the very ending. It will dissipate. The energy will dissipate. Then because you didn't do anything, it will cease to be. The best time is when you get unhappy, angry, emotional, especially when your children or your husband make you miserable. Then you just relax, silent, and feel. Feel, then silent. Be with it. You see what happened. You must see it dissipating, disappearing. Then all of a sudden, that mind become free of the anger. Free, completely free of that emotion or negativity. Then you realize the mind become very quiet, very still, and very silent. Then you realize the original state of mind was already like that. That is your true mind. That is your original mind state, which is already peaceful, tranquil, still, and just aware. Then when you return to that mind state, there is no more mental states that is of the positive and negative, the hindrance all cease. Then you come to understand, like the Buddha said, how the disappearance of the arisen mental hindrance come to be. Understand? That's why the moment you are aware and silent, you are doing meditation already. Then you will see it arising through wrong view, ceasing through right view. Your right view is not to create, not to stir, not to react, just silent. But this third way, like I explained, is not applicable to life. Understand? Every time you got problem, you have to go somewhere quiet, make yourself peaceful again. Then come out when you encounter life problem or when you're back to society, back to your daily life. Again, situation can cause you to have that emotion again. Understand? The anger, the hatred, that fear, the insecurity, the doubt, the restlessness. So all these mind states will arise again. Then every time it arises, you go and meditate. It's not going to work, is it? True or not? That's like the fourth way, what did the Buddha said? You have to contemplate and reflect and trace the origination factor. How did it arise? And how did it condition you to become like that? Because you haven't root out the defilement, understand? You have not understood. You only know how to make it cease, means disappear, through a formal meditation. That's why I say no amount of formal meditation can actually liberate your mind if you don't develop the actual wisdom. So trace the origination factor means you silence your mind again, then you can reflect or contemplate and recall just now how the anger arises. It can be out of the meditation. Oh, somebody said something to me. Then through memory I recall, then my wrong view, I stir, I react. Because I cannot accept what he say. And what he say normally got something to do with you, which is the form and mind, but you cling on to it. You think that entity is you. You think the name that they are, you are given is you. So let's say anybody, can be Achong or Akao or whatever. So somebody's called that Achong, or insult, or slander. Then because you feel that this Achong is referring to you, understand? That's why from there, through your wrong view, you react, you get angry, you get emotional. Then your thoughts start to proliferate. It will start to tell you a story. How can this guy say that? Who the hell he is? One day I'm going to fix him up. So all this is your sankhara movement. This is your sakaya, this is self-development. You attach, you cling. Why can't you develop another contemplation which the Buddha said, when you see things as they are, means through the silent mind, when you don't perceive him as your enemy or with negativity, when you perceive him the way he is, it means deluded people do deluded things, selfish people do selfish things, emotional people do emotional things, violent people do violent things. They are just the way they are. So when I can have this understanding, that's why last week we went through, when I acknowledge and accept what happened, where this is your problem, Karana, you react, you stir, you get into trouble. So we call this problem. And this problem to you is like very real because of your delusion. But actually this is the reality. He is just the way he is. Understand? So when you accept him for what he is, and you acknowledge, your mind no longer stir, no longer react, no longer have the wrong view, because you no longer perceive him with negativity. You no longer allow your conditioning of your views, opinion, and sakayadity, self-delusion, to stir and react. When all this is, you have clarity of mind. Then your mind is peaceful, because it does not react, it does not stir. You can see things as they are. Then it's just like in your third way, the meditation, you are at peace. When you are at peace, you have clarity. Then you ask yourself, why should I react? Then I know this is wrong view. So I should straighten my view to see things as they are, to accept him for what he is. Then you reflect through second turning to develop deeper wisdom. So when you contemplate until it's very, very clear, very stable, like what my teacher used to tell me, we just contemplate every phenomenon until very, very clear. Then we can apply to all phenomena. All of the conditioned phenomena within existence is the same. Through wrong view, you perceive it negativity, it becomes problem, and so on. That's why do not perceive anything with negativity. You should perceive them with wholesomeness. Then it becomes blessing in disguise. Then you can still be at peace and accept them for what they are, the reality. So the next time when you confront the same situation, you can even experience it for yourself very clearly. You will not react like last time, right? Then you will see that person and smile. Then you, when you accept him for what he is, instead of getting angry and emotional, you will have compassion for him. Because you will understand through ignorance, through delusion, he become like that. And this will cause his karmic downfall, karmic negativity. And when the karma ripen and hit back, he will get into big trouble where he didn't know who he did to, especially to cultivator. So all this you understand, that inside you will recite, like Jesus, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. Then this love, this compassion, this metta, they will flow out from your heart. Then you can be at peace and at the same time have love, have compassion. Then you can confront all this and you can move on. So the fourth way is the wisdom way. When you trace the origination factor, it's through your wrong view, through your senses that you react. Then you retrospectively reverse it. Means the next time when you see or hear or smell or taste or tactile feel and think the same issue, which is a common reality of the world, then you always remember to acknowledge and accept. We are seeing things as they are. Well, the world is the world. People are just the way they are. You cannot change them. If you want things your way, you suffer. Because they are just the way they are. Nature's law like that, condition like that, things will be like that. All of what they call existence, phenomena or flow, will be like that. Well, the causes and condition is already there, planted. So when the causes and condition is already there, it will follow the evolution. It will move and flow accordingly. That's why you have to accord and flow and through wisdom, not to react, not to stir, and not to go against. That's why conflict is suffering. Opposition is suffering. You have to accord and flow. You have to develop harmony with everything, just like Lao Tzu. Harmony is the greatest wisdom. Without harmony, there is no wisdom. Where everything is in conflict, disorder. There is no order. There is only order when there is wisdom, there is understanding, when there is harmony, there is peace, love, compassion, then there is order. So once you understand all this, then you come back to meditation. So the focus is not to be curious about all these things. They will arise, like what she explained. And today I like this question is because this is very typical of many cultivators and meditators. Then they get very excited. Let's say I say, wow, this is very good. You should actually experience, you should know, you should do this, do that. And you know what happened? Other people who listen, how come I don't get this one? Then they go and look for it. Meditation is not about all this. Meditation is about understanding what you are doing in the name of meditation. If your spiritual faculty is not there, you need to train, you train. But when it's still not there, you want to train and meditate, then you use some other skillful means, like I advise you, the mind sweeping method, loving kindness, metta. Then after that, stabilize through an object of meditation. So if you need to do all those things, you do. Then the whole of meditation is about, have you trained your mind? Have you developed the ability to decondition this heedless thinking so that the inner peace leading to inner well-being can arise because of the metta? Then after that, when that mind has already developed some form of peacefulness and quietness because of the deconditioning of the heedless thinking, you use the object of meditation to train it, to stabilize it. So are you doing all these things? But if your spiritual faculty is already there, you have already trained, you have already done this, then this thing becomes very easy for you to do. It's like I say, you initially do that practice. When you repetitively do it, you become skillful. Then once you have already developed the training and the stability, you don't do it anymore. Understand? But that is just the training, the initial training of mind. That's why you need to practice the object of meditation and all things. So once you stabilize it already, silence everything and use that to meditate, to develop wisdom, to understand how you function as a human being, how your mind upon contact consciousness arise, and how through your wrong view you input your content, then it condition you through your wrong view. Because when you don't have right view and wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot cope. then your mind will still react. Then you see how all the evil roots, the mental hindrance arise. That's why I say you will see the Four Noble Truths. You will see the essential Dhamma, the three evil roots, the five mental hindrances, the spiritual. All this you will start to see them when you are silent and just aware. Just like the example just like I give, sati, samadhi, sitting as they are. When you cannot do that, then your usual, habitual way, the old way of heedlessness will come in. That is always acting according to memory, which is not acting at all. Why? Your memory is all your accumulated experiences, good and bad. All your fear, worry, anxiety, scars of memory, selfishness, emotional negativity, insecurity, everything is inside there. Your views, your opinion, your belief system, your tradition, especially Chinese traditions and all those things. Then your educational background, your conditioning, your exposure to the media, the papers and all those things. The politicians' speeches and thought, all this influence you and your life. They condition you. They influence you. Then when you start to see that the brain, through its memory, is an accumulation of all this, then you don't know how to use your brain and your thought process, then you get yourself entangled. Because before that form of mind is enlightened, without wisdom, they cannot use thought correctly. They will always use it wrongly. That's why they cannot arise right thought. That's why I say, don't try to be good. And I said, yeah, that trying to be good is the thought, through its views and opinion, trying to be good. And that's not. The moment you are without negativity, you are already good. And I said, the absence of evil is good. Don't try to do good. Because when you don't have wisdom, you cannot do good. Oh, you cannot arise the right thought. And I said, oh, I don't want to be selfish anymore. I want to be kind, gentle, generous. This one is you act out of it, understand? But deep inside, the roots are still there. The selfishness is still there. The emotion is still there. The fear is still there. So all these are still within anusaya, latent tendency, but you cannot see. But outwardly, you say, I must cultivate right thought. Right thought cannot be cultivated, understand? Right thought needs to be understood. When you are incapable of evil, everything you do is right already. That's why the Buddha's advice, avoid all evil. The moment you avoid all evil means what? You are incapable of evil, correct? Then, naturally, you are good, understand? You haven't even done that part. You want to do good, understand? That's why you become good-hearted fool. Understand? You do a lot of good and donation. You think this is doing good. But people deceive you. Understand not? They actually harp on your so-called love and compassion, especially your compassion in inverted commas. We are especially Malaysian, no? Hello, generous one. And very compassionate one. You talk about donation, very fast money coming. So a lot of these things, when you start to develop the clear understanding, then you see the foolishness of doing all this without understanding. That's why you have to do with understanding. Understanding means what? The essential Dhamma is very important, like avoid evil. You have to ask yourself, how can I do it? The first inquiry is, why did the Buddha say I have to avoid all evil? What is evil? When you have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you become evil, understand not? So when you become evil, you will cause a lot of evil things, which is negative karma. That's why when you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, which is the law of karma, and the Buddha make it very clear, every day you reflect the fifth daily contemplation. He said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. And this one, we refer to the form and mind, not your true nature. Understand? So this form and mind, when it comes through karma, law of karma, karmically conditioned out into this world, it has its conditioning. And it is subject to karma. That's why you have to take care of karma. That's why this form of mind cannot do things as it like. If you simply do things, you will fall. You will get into deep trouble. So like the Buddha said, if our life solely depends on karma, because we are born of it, we inherit everything that karma creates. That's why we are heir to our karma. Condition is supported by our karma, every moment, every instant. And we are what we are because of our karma, every life, every moment, every instant. So if karma plays such a great role in your life, what must you do? You have to take care of karma. So how to take care of karma? Like the Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil. Do good and purify the mind. How do you avoid all evil? Keep the precepts. But those who violate the precepts has the evil roots. Like just now I tried to explain to that sister. What are evil roots? That's why you have to go deep into it. The Buddha said greed, hatred, and delusion. These are the three evil roots. But the meaning is very deep. The English word greed alone cannot actually cover completely what the evil roots of greed is. In Pali, that word is loba. Not the loba you eat. This one is L-O-H-B-A, loba. So this one, a general English word is greed. But it is a lot more than greed. Not just greediness, understand? Not? All of your selfishness is also greed, understand? Not? You understand? When you are selfish, it is also part of greed. Then all of your craving, your desire, your possessiveness, these are part of greed, understand? Not? Your stubbornness, these are part of greed. Your rigidity, these are all part of greed. Then when you are not careful, yeah, you think, hey, I don't have greed, I'm not greedy. But you are hell or selfish. And the security self-delusion is so strong, nothing to do with you, you don't want to get involved. Understand? No advantage to you or your loved one, you don't want to get involved. Yeah. Got advantage, you try to get whatever benefit from it. And this is all called selfishness. That's why when you are selfish, you already have this greed. The evil roots is already there. Yeah. That possessiveness is also same. Then your craving, your desire, your lust. All these are part of greed. So a lot of things that the essential Dhamma teach, you have to reflect and contemplate into it and see clearly your mind state. Then you realize there is a good reason why the Buddha said all, almost all of humanity, they have ignorance, especially before you become Arahant and beyond, before you awaken. Even as a Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, the first stage of it, second stage of that, you still got ignorance. You still have ignorance. So because of that, the Buddha actually is very wise. Initially, when I started my cultivation, when I was in the university, first year, I remember, I got this problem of like accepting what the Chief Reverend always give talk. He said, the Buddha said, living being has a lot of ignorant delusion. And you know, we are very, very egoic. We think we university student. No? Then some more top from the state. No? We enter university Malaya engineering. And you know that time, very difficult for non-Malays to enter engineering and medicine professional courses. So the mind was reflecting and said, I can't understand. Why did the Buddha say we are all full of ignorance and delusion? Then that time, went to temple. Very funny. People pay respect. You like, what is all this? And I said, You bow to a statue. Which you cannot understand. So the ego is there. That's why you can't even do this very simple act of reverence, show salutation, paying respect to somebody worthy of respect because of the ego. Yeah. Then later on, as I cultivate, especially when I develop the mindfulness, then all of a sudden I got a shock of my life. I said, no wonder the Buddha said, we are all deluded and full of ignorance. I realized everything through mindfulness when I lived my normal life as a kid until I grew up, even as a university student, then they don't come out to work. This egoic mind is full of the I and the me inside there. The entity that it holds on to is every time selfish. Without selfishness, it doesn't act on. Yeah. Doesn't benefit me, doesn't have any advantage, you will not do one. Yeah. Then if you got a motive, you want to be successful financially, you want to be successful in a career, or then you work very hard, and that's all. Then you try to cover your backside, especially in the office, a lot of political. So you try to cover, then you argue with people. Then I realized the mind has been doing all this. Then the craving, the sensual desire, everything I saw. Then the lion is like, all this mental hindrance. I start to see them. Then the nature start to understand. No wonder the teaching is so profound. No wonder self-delusion is so powerful, so difficult to crack. And the egoic mind is so egoic. Then this one, all of a sudden, loses its old thinking, understand? It starts to straighten its view. It starts to have a lot of respect for the Buddha, a lot of gratitude towards him for the teaching that he has taught us. Then the paying of respect that time onward is automatic. It's just a natural act of kindness, gratitude, respect, reverential salutation. Then the faith all starts to come in. Then you start to understand how it develops and how it makes you different. Then, like the Buddha said, seldom can you have a thought to actually be sincere, genuine, honest to yourself, to help others. It's no more about you, advantage, disadvantage. It's about God conditioned to help you just help. I realize hardly any of all those things. Then if you try to use your thought to rationalize and try to do, no meaning, because the evil roots are still there. You are actually acting out of it. It is not the real one. Then I realize the real one comes from understanding. That's why I start to study the Dhamma until very clear. Then when I'm sure already, then I go into the cultivation. Then, of course, my past helped me. Then I met with the teacher and all. They start to come. The teacher come, the book come, the guide come, everything come, 1986 onward. That's how within that 3 years, everything become clear. Then after that, another 3 years was for the last two teachers to arise. Especially the last one, because of my vow and all those things. Then after that, until now, 92 until now, which is about 24 years. From 89 is about 27 years. No more guide, no more teacher, no more book. Nothing. Until today. Because the condition is such, at that time, when all this arise, is because of your this nature's past vow and all those things. And it start to connect and it start to develop all the understanding through the inheritance of its cultivation and all that. That's why I used to share with you a lot of things that I come to understand this life. I never learned them this life. Then how did it arise in this nature? Because it's from past. And without the sasana, it's very difficult to connect back. Well, without the sasana, it will take much longer. Then without the great condition that come about, also it's going to take quite a while. So as you go through the cultivation, you will understand. Then when you understand, you cultivate with understanding, you progress very fast. So coming back to Sister Mindy's question, so now you understand. You check, what are you doing in the name of meditation? Am I training my spiritual faculty? Or am I doing the deconditioning of the healer's thinking? Then combine with metta to bring about the quiet mind, the tranquil mind that is without the mental hindrance, so that I can stabilize it. So if you are focused on this, then meditation becomes easy. If I need to train, I train. If I need to stabilize, I stabilize. Then after that, like I said, when the silent mind, opacity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind is developed, stabilized, then meditation, no more doing. Meditate means silent, just aware. Then you will understand by itself. That's why this four support is very important. Relax into every mind state. Then don't try to know. Just silent, aware. So this one, the moment you are without thought, you already aware and understand. Yeah? That's why this one is silence. Because the moment you are without thought, you already aware, understand. This one can follow, The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Without thought. You are already aware. Without thought means what? No aggregate of mind, understand not? When you don't feel anything, when you don't perceive anything, when you don't arise any mental state, when you don't even trigger off your sense or consciousness. But the moment you go to hearing consciousness, you are not aware of what you see, understand? You understand? Even consciousness, when you arise, you pay attention there, you already not with the moment. So all this will let you understand. The second support is just silent. Maintain the awareness. The moment you are silent, you are without thought, means silent, you are already aware. So don't practice awareness. You cannot practice awareness. Don't try to be aware. Let the thought that try to be aware create more thought. When you use the thought to be aware, you note. Understand? And who knows? The thought is looking at the thing. And it, worse is, it verbalizes. Standing, intending to walk. All this is verbalization. Understand? And when you verbalize, it becomes thought-based. And when thought is active, how can you be aware? How can you be mindful? There is no way. So when you understand all this, the moment you relax, the awareness will be there by itself. Relax means what? There is no craving, isn't it? Clear not? You just want to free the stress. The whatever hindrance, everything, you just relax into it. Even energy, if you want to build up, you just relax into it. Even the piti, the sukha, you just relax into it. Then that awareness become more and more stable, more and more clear. Then don't try to know. Trying to know is to arise the thought again, understand? That's why I say, preferably, if you want to contemplate, come out of the form of meditation, then do. Unless you are already very skillful, then you can come out of the lying down meditation or the formal meditation. Then you can just relax either in the sitting position in a relaxed manner to reflect. Or as you stand somewhere quiet, peaceful to reflect. Or as you walk slowly, mindfully, you reflect. Then the second turning contemplation is very useful. It's only during the contemplation and the reflection under that tranquil setting. Even at home, you can do it, because most of the time we are alone. Yeah. Ourself alone. So sometimes I walk out to my outside there, the garden there, I just walk up and walk down. And I just stand during the early day. And sometimes at home also, I just reflect, contemplate, especially when I come to sharing, giving Dhamma talk. I just reflect, how can I let the living being understand all this teaching? And then when I throw out this inquiry, the nature will arise. That's why when I go, I don't prepare anything. I just talk within the moment, condition like that. It's just straight from the heart, things come out. So this is what Dhamma is all about. It's not a knowledge. It's not from memory. If you need to prepare, that is from memory. Then you try to speak according to the notes that you have prepared. Then it is not true understanding, wisdom from the nature or from the heart. So memory, which is knowledge, is not wisdom. That's why these two you will come to understand on your own as you cultivate. Then as you cultivate and you progress, remember one thing, don't get caught in this, because a lot of those who actually penetrate, they used to ask me this question. Brother, how come I cannot remember? How many of you experience this? Don't try to remember. Where you think after you awaken to it, after you have developed the contemplation very clear already at that time, then after a few days or a week, like you cannot remember. You forget about it. Don't try to remember. If you try to remember, it becomes memory again. It goes back to knowledge again. You just forget about it. Like Guan Xing Lao Zhang say. You know what Guan Xing Lao Zhang say? People ask him, what is wisdom? 什么是智慧? You know how he replied? Can remember? Last time I shared before. He said, 智慧 is like that. 对也接受,不对也接受。 无论如何都要忍住,忍住就是波罗蜜。 Then he said, 智慧, oh sorry, I didn't translate. How many of you don't know Mandarin? Oh, got a few, but not now. He said, wisdom is like that. When you can accept everything, right also accept, wrong also accept. Understand? No matter what happened, you must have the Kanti Parami. You know what is Kanti? Patient to accept them all. Then he said, wisdom is very strange. It's not knowledge. He said, sometimes that cultivator, that form in mind, might not even know that the wisdom already there. But the funny part about wisdom is, he said, when they are met with situation, they know how to act. That is real wisdom. Understand? That's why it's not memory one. You don't have to remember anything. The moment you understand, it's there. It never get lost. It never get lost in the sense it will stay with this form of mind. But when this form of mind is gone, the next time you come, that new form of mind have to learn again and connect again. That inherit. Then only is with you forever. Why is it like that? Because wisdom is not rigid, not a knowledge, understand not? Wisdom can be applied to all situations. You cannot commit to memory, you understand not? That's why it's called wisdom, understanding. That's why you realize or not, all my sharing and all this, I never prepare anything. How come I come when you ask me questions, I can answer? Because straight from here, it just come out. And I don't remember anything. Then sometimes I cannot recall the word. Understand? I have to ask you, what is that word? Because this memory, this brain has become so different over the last 27 years. It has become, ever since the pandemic collapse, it cannot hold on to anything. Sometimes this moment I speak, it's like, completely disappear, forgotten. That's why sometimes I have to ask you, what did I say? Then you have to tell me certain things. And then straight away, this nature will understand that it will know how to continue. Well, it needs condition for it to arise again. Understand or not? So condition come from, you have to tell me what did I say just now. The moment you touch on one or two words on it, I can remember it. Because I don't store. I don't try to remember. Understand or not? So like the computer, random access memory. Need to access, only access. Because these are all in the brain. Because when I communicate, this nature communicate, it has to use words. Understand or not? It has to use words. It has to use thought, understand not? Otherwise, how to communicate? I have to speak through the microphone. But the understanding of all these words is not a knowledge. It's not stored anywhere. You have to remember one. Look at notes. You're gone already. That is not the real one. That's why, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo means this Dhamma. Yeah? Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Like we chant just now, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Then this Dhamma is Sandhiko. Can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait until death. That's why it's within the moment. Sandhiko. Every moment. Within the moment. Then Akaliko means what? Timeless. Beyond thought, beyond mind. It can commit to memory means what? Thought will arise, understand or not? Thought is respond to memory. The Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. How can you store in your memory? You cannot. That's why don't try to remember anything. Don't try to know. The nature will know. When it awakens, it's always there inside. Cannot be forgotten. Yeah. So, when you cultivate, don't try to know. Just cultivate. Then the understanding will come. The moment you understand is with that nature, all the way. But that understanding is only connected to this form of mind. Understand not? When this form of mind no more, that thing also gone. That's why the cultivation is not easy. Every life you come, you have to connect back first. Then by the time you connect, depend on your luck. How old already? Some people start so old, understand? Then by the time they connect, even much older. Yeah. That's why this nature, this life, very lucky. You can say it's luck, but nothing to do with luck. Because at the age of 35, it connect. And it's all because of the Bodhisattva vow in the past. Otherwise, cannot. Impossible. A lot of people at the age 35 still haven't started, understand? I heard a lot say they start at 50, 55 after they retire or what. Then some they start very early but they learn the wrong one. So, no? Then like never really progress. So it is so difficult. Then when you meet the right one, it still take a while. Understand? No? Provided you have your past, your Brahmi and all things. Then you can understand, you connect very fast. Then from there only you continue. Then this form of mind, how long can it last? That's why every life you come, when the Buddha Sasana is around, maybe you can cultivate for maybe 20 years. If you are lucky, 30 years or 40 years. But not everybody has this type of paramiyas. Then what if there is no Sasana? You don't have the Bodhisattva vow, you don't have the Sasana, you don't make that type of aspiration for this type of understanding to be with your form and mind, your nature, life after life. How are you going to progress? How are you going to develop the cultivation? That's why it's not easy. That's why last Tuesday class, you listen to it, you will know. There is a lot of things that was discussed in the Diamond Sutta. The Diamond Sutta is a very unique Mahayana teaching. Then that one, when you don't have the understanding, you read, it's like worse than fairy tale. Understand? Because in one other chapter, which we were covering, chapter 16, according to the Sutta, Sakyamuni Buddha, he said, before he met Dipankara Buddha, you remember who is Dipankara Buddha? The Buddha, the Sammasambuddha that predicted his Sammasambuddhahood in the distant future. to become Sakyamuni. According to that Diamond Sutta, before he met Dipankara Buddha, he has already met 84 billion Sammasambuddha and make offering and attend to them. You sure won't believe on crazy. 84 million already a lot. Last time we heard Vimalakirti 90 million. This one 84 billion. But to you, you may not understand. You may thought, how can it be? It's impossible. Crazy. You know our earth, how big is our population? 6 over billion on here. Let's say everyone Sammasambuddha. You can meet how many? You hardly can meet 100,000. Correct? Maybe your whole lot of Facebook account add up also less than 10,000. But this one meet so well. But the thing is not like that. Like I explained to them during the Tuesday class. If you are not in this line, if you are not cultivating this field, it's like the book say, very rare. You can't even see even a Sotapan. It's like very difficult, very rare. Because you never make the aspiration to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise. And because of that, you always get yourself entangled with the foolish. So your world is only with the heedless, the foolish. That's why you never met anyone. But like I explained to you earlier on, this life, this nature come. Even though people say so difficult, like certain books say, to meet a Sotapan also like impossible already, very rare this era. But this nature, when it come, when the condition is that I met so many. That's why if you are in this field, you have the understanding. That's why in the Bodhisattva vow, when we take, I ask you to add in this additional vow, remember? To cultivate affinity with all the great beings, Buddhas and Bodhisattva. So if you do that through understanding, I tell you, you will create affinity and condition to always meet up with all these great beings. Then not only billion, tens of billion is possible. Because you make the aspiration. As you cultivate, your parami become different, your aspiration become more powerful. And you keep on meeting this type of people, this type of being. That's why it's possible. That's why you don't allow the thought to come in. The thought will tell you funny thing one. Where got like that one? How can? Crazy. Because you are not in this field. You have not reached that type of cultivation. Just like I explained to Ponchi, where she came down with the husband and the adding. I explained to her, I said, I give her this analogy, our education system. Let's say primary school. Then you go to secondary school. Then you go to upper secondary. Then form 6. Then university. Then after that, first degree. Then master, PhD. So if you don't understand, when you standard 6 drop out, what happened to you? You only meet all who? All those your gang, standard 6 drop out. Then as you go to maybe form 3, let's say you fail, you only mix up with those who are in that particular circle. So in a similar way, if your cultivation is heedlessness, that one is not cultivation. If you don't cultivate, you become heedless and what? You will join the heedless, understand not? That's why you will mix up with the fools and the heedless. Then as you, let's say, cultivate a little bit, go to secondary school, form 1, form 2, form 3, and then you mix with the slightly better one, understand not? Then form 4, form 5, you mix up with those even better one. Then form 6, of course, better. But if you complain, takes so long to finish. Standard 6 enough lah. Come out and workforce. Make money first. What will happen? Do you think the standard 6 guy, and the form 3 or Form 5 or Form 6 or university guy, after they leave school at a different level, you think same or not? It's going to be different, isn't it? But not everybody is Lim Guo Tong. No education also very successful. You understand? That one is only 1 in a billion or 1. And most of these people, you must be with your peers, understand? Then only you can come out. Otherwise, you must break the vicious cycle. Then, through your own hard work, make up for whatever deficit, then move up that ladder. There are some who self-study, I know. Because during the early days in JKL, I was told a lot, after Form 5, they go and become technician first. Then they did very well, then they study very well. Then they get promoted to special grade, then super skill. Then after that, they take the internal exam, become technical assistant, TA, they call TA. I'm talking about engineering, JKL, PWD, Public Works Department. Then they apply for scholarship, given no, even normally at that time, quite common. Then they go to UK, twinning. Because the technical college, our technical college standard was very high, exempted first year. 2 years they come back, become engineer. See, although they stop at Form 5, but they see the importance of continuing their education. They work very hard. Then even a lot of those Yurutama directors, those who are in construction industry, you will know. Go Chai Kiat, Lim Yong Kiat, then this Ong Yan Tien. I know these three directors. Fourth one, Lim Chung Kong, Go Chai Kiat. Lim Yong Kiat brother, I don't know him. But these three, they are technicians. Then become technical assistant, then they take their own exam, means they self-study from here. Then they sit for the special paper. Then they qualify to become what they call UK recognized civil engineer. So those who strive, they can still make it. But what I want to explain is different cultivator at different level, you get stuck. Unless you're willing to listen with your open mind, then give it a try, then strive on with heedfulness and continue. Then you can break free. Like those people, after Form 5 as technician, they took the special grade exam, then they become technical assistant, then they self-study, sometimes they get scholarship, they continue with their uni, then they also can actually join all the professional at that level and become very successful in life. So spiritual cultivation is more or less the same, similar. So you don't worry. Don't allow the thought to create the unnecessary conditioning in you. Are you all this way? People take so long. They got their path. I got nothing. Forget about it. You think like that, you forever like those who are destined not to be successful. They will always say, not for me. I where got this type of palamia. I where got this type of ability. They didn't even want to look at it, give it a try. But if you have an open mind, say, yeah, people make it. Why don't I give it a try? I got nothing to lose. The worst case scenario is what? Yeah? I don't make it, isn't it? It's not something that is life and death, isn't it? As long as I'm sincere, I try my best, I give it a try. And if I'm able to clear, then I will reap the result. So if you have this type of open mind, you will become very successful. Then you determine. It's just like, since young, I realized I got this very unique ability from the past. I told you all, standard 1, I last in the class. Standard 2, I second last in the class. And people laugh at me. But that was because I was sent to an English school. My village, nobody know how to speak English. So I lack the language. I don't understand. But the moment after standard 2, the moment I understand the language, I did very well. Then, very funny thing about my nature is that I don't have to associate with the wise. But in school, it's the intelligent one, the smarter one, the clever. And it's not that I purposely go and join them or no, and become their friend or no. Their nature just end up becoming their friends or no. Then observe how they study, then take in all the good one, then top the class again. Then as I go to secondary school, I did the same. Then even when I went to the uni also, very strange, you know. Somehow I get to know all these good students, you know. That time I didn't even know that they were good students, you know. Until of course when the result come out. You know. Then I saw different type of smart people, you know. Really smart, you know. Some are before exam, go and see show, see movie. You know. Oh, that one I cannot measure. Because if I don't prepare, I cannot. So, not at that level. They really, you know, and I saw some in fifth college, they were playing what they call gambling. Play card, no? We're near New Year, our exam are near New Year. So, there were a group of them, chonker, they call me, hey, come, can go, come, come, come. I said, you are cool, I'm not at that level yet. They really, and I checked with one of them, they say it's to release tension. Understand? Not? Release tension. But some of them are because they say they have to go and see show one. Then only when they go in the exam, they can do very well because the mind is not cluttered. Understand? Not? But my way different. I cannot have that type to distract me. When I prepare means I prepare. Then when I'm ready, I know what I'm ready. Then I go in, I will do. Those that I am very confident, I will do well. So this is the inert nature that has been inherited from the past. It knows how to associate with the good ones. Or you can say in the Dhamma sense, it's the wise one. Then even when I cultivate Dhamma, so this nature screen and scan itself, one, it will understand. It don't look at the title. One. It don't even have to be like somebody... People say very famous one and what from where you know. Then this one get like gullible, want to go and meet, cannot. Sometimes they even come and say, hey, come, we go. I say, no, my head, I'll go. Then I wait for condition and sign. You know. So when the condition and sign come, 2-3 times it will appear. You know. Then I say, okay, I go. Then when I go, I will silence my mind, then I assess. And then when I can sense something, then I will listen attentively. Then when I can actually receive the teaching and feel their nature and all those things, then the faith is there. Then I will listen attentively. Then I will follow those teachers. That's how this is. And it never go after the famous one. And some type of great teacher or what they say, or the what, I mean, pardon me if I name some of them. Not the real name. They call the Tibetan one Rinpoche, then some the Sayadaw, then some the great one Achan and other things. Very strange, you know. Sometimes I go and listen. Maybe no affinity, I don't know. Cannot, because that is not what this nature wants to receive. That's why it tried, but cannot. Then never mind, open mind, it just leave. So not everybody is the same. You have to find your own. You have to develop your own understanding. Because, like we make aspiration to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. You make this type of aspiration, which is very good. But then you never understand the essential Dhamma. What constitutes heedless, foolish? You didn't even want to find out. So when you are in the midst of them, you also don't know. That's why your vow will not help you much. Then you want to meet out with the wise and the enlightened one. But you don't understand who are the wise and who are the enlightened one. Where you look at the external form, understand not? The robe, the title and all those things. Then you will miss, understand not? The enlightened one, the wise one, is the embodiment of their wisdom and virtue. And their understanding. It's nothing to do with the title that they carry. Understand? Some may not have title. Some, after they become famous, they may have. But the key thing is about their wisdom, their understanding, their virtue, the way they actually carry themselves. Yes, Chen Hua always say this one. He say you want to find out whether this person really wise and enlightened or not. You observe him. Does he has greed? You know what is greed? Not only greed for your offering, donation, and money. Greed for title, understand? Greed for people to respect him and all those things. You can see on. Then whether he still has this what they call ego or not. Then whether he still have all this what they call bad habits or not. Through observation, through mindfulness, you can feel them, you can see them. If they really have the Dhamma, the Parami, the what they call wisdom, especially love and compassion, you can feel it on. It's coming out from their nature on. And when they speak, their nature actually shines forth. That's why I can feel Ajayantra very strongly at that time. His metta was very powerful. His wisdom, his understanding. That's why I pick up a lot of things from him. So when I can feel and detect all this, then I can make use of it and put it into cultivation. Then when this nature reaps the result and see clearly, the faith becomes unshakable. That's why after that I keep on trying to visit him, serve him, do whatever I can, then listen attentively to whatever he shared with me and the recording everything. That's how this nature able to progress. So faith is very important. That's why you have that, you listen attentively. The spiritual faculty will move you and you will progress and you will awaken. And during this sasana, this window is very easy and very beautiful. Okay? Oh, another 2-3 minutes. You got any question? Any more question? So Mindy, roughly you understand, huh? You can experience them, no problem. But go back to your focus. If you already train your spiritual faculty there, you can meditate very easily already. And then you can try all this. You can experience all this. That's why I told you from the beginning, your question will be self-answered. Whether to look or not to look, or whatever, or to just silent and experience, is up to you. But the key thing is the four support. Relax into it. Then after that, maintain the awareness. Then develop the understanding. That is meditation. If you realize that you are not mindful and heedful, means you have to train, you have to cultivate. But if you are already mindful and heedful, the silent mind already there, and then you can go into the meditation. You can experience all this. Then you can understand them. Yeah. Then you can ask this type of question, but it's good because you are now at that stage. So after today's explanation, you go back like before, you listen again attentively, make some note, then you understand, then you will progress. You will progress very fast because you are very sincere. She actually quite new. I think only last few months, how many months? 6 months, I think, about that. Then she came to the Sunday class, I think, Miss Lee. Was it Miss Lee who introduced you? Sadhu, Brother Sriyans, what the hell? Oh, Sadhu. Oh, that time you were with which temple? Oh, yeah, Ajahn Vimok, yeah. Sriyans organized a lot of Ajahn Vimoks, what they call retreat, the 1 day or 2 day retreat. Yeah, Sadhu, now I know. Then when she came, I realized she like very naive, but very sincere, very keen to learn. But there's a lot of things she finds so interesting, because this is so different from the other people sharing and teaching. And she realized that there is so much Dhamma to be understood. Then to develop the understanding, then only you can cultivate. Your last time, like, the whole big picture not there. Just people say do this, do. People say do that, do. Then you hear Dhamma. here this type of Dhamma, there this type of Dhamma. Like, the whole thing is, you cannot get hit or tail out of it. In fact, I can tell you, most Buddhists is like that. They cannot connect the whole teaching. They cannot have somebody to explain to them the whole lot of the Buddha Dhamma, the essential Dhamma. That's why it's not easy. That's why you should thank your own good karma, your own good parami to have this condition, to have this understanding. Then when you understand, you reflect, you contemplate until you become very clear, then determine to have this understanding life after life when you come. Because it's not easy to have this window during the sasana to have this type of understanding. Okay, let us rejoice with Mindy's question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Even in the Sunday class, she asked very good question, very related to the cultivation and the teaching. Sometimes she read my transcript, she will ask me, what Brother Teo meant by this word? I forgot, I don't know what word. That was from one other book. Then the moment she asked, I know already, this person really pay attention. Otherwise, you cannot pick up that word. Then after that, the condition arrived, then I explained. Then she will understand it a lot more clearer and deeper. That's why she can actually progress. It's because every time something is explained, she really listened. Then when she got it, she will understand and she will move on to the next level. So this phase will go on for a while. But the retreat, March retreat, you make sure you attend. That one, I will restart the teaching again. I will start the Heart Sutta book again. This time I will go chapter by chapter, slowly, then develop the overall understanding. Well, now is the time where a lot of you need to go through the revision. You already have most of the thing with you, those who are earlier with me. Then over the years, your nature, the gateway has been activated and opened. It's only that you have not stabilized the spiritual faculty. Then to develop the ability to silence your mind more and more, more and more completely. At the retreat, actually, it's very good to do more bowing, walking, reflection, contemplation, and lying down. Lying down is the best. Finally, you must lie down. But before you lie down, you make sure your mindfulness is very stable. Otherwise, you go and snore and sleep. So don't be too eager to lie down. But when you are ready, no problem. You can just do it. Because there is a lot of time to meditate. So you can actually develop the mindfulness through bowing, through the daily mindfulness, then through walking around contemplating. Then try to maintain noble silence more and more, more and more. Talk less, talk less. It's not to say you cannot talk, but when there are time not to talk, you better devote the cultivation to be silent. Because I remember the first time I went through the cessation, that retreat, the 5-day retreat, I hardly talked. I hardly talked. Until towards the end, when the whole thing finished, I find it so difficult to open the mouth to even say a few words. Until we were on the bus. Because it was so still, so quiet, so mindful. And so different. But that time I did a lot of contemplation because the understanding keep on coming after that, after that moment of cessation. Okay, we better end. 10:32. We will do the sharing of merits with all the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva Cirang rakan tu lo kasasana ita wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabe deva anumodan tu sabasampati sidia idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo Itang minya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Itang minya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Itmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo ho tu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, mindfulness to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Center tomorrow in Klang, delivered by me, because it's a scheduled talk for 1 year. So tomorrow is the last talk for this year, and the title of the topic is very beautiful, very strange. They choose this title, the importance of vows in developing the cultivation. That it so happened our Tuesday class, our chapter 16 is about vows, the Bodhisattva vows and all those things. So there are many things that the Buddha has taught us. So these vow things come from actually parami, the one of the 10 perfections that the Buddha mentioned in the sutta. If you want to cultivate to become Sammasambuddha, there is a perfection they call adhitthana or determination. Aspiration, vows. So you are free. You can join us. Okay.
当时啊。